God, if you can count out God, then you can count out miracles. But if you got God, you got miracles. That's amen. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will, verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Coming down to the end of Ephesians, we spent some time going through this, and we're coming down to a familiar passage of the armor of God. Please excuse my voice. It's like I said, I kind of something blew out middle of choir practice, but Lord willing, we can get through this. And we talked about the putting on the whole armor of God, and then we talked about to stand against the wiles of the devil by being steadfast in the faith. Anybody need a worksheet? Anybody miss getting a worksheet? Few down here in the middle there. I'm sorry, I didn't think about it. Slip your hand up and keep them up till they get to you. Slip your hand up till you get to you. And last week we talked about stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having a breastplate of righteousness. There's the whole armor. Again, sometimes I think, listen, do not ever get to the point where it said my Christian walk, my walk with God is good enough. That's a dangerous place to be. As soon as you think it's good enough, God's going to show you otherwise. You have enough to get around, or was a little short? You're all out? Everybody got one? Need one? Okay. That's good, because I made 115. That's good. I made more than usual. All righty. Very good. Let's read here, beginning in verse 10. I'll make more next week. That's a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in what? Not in your own power, but in the power of His might. Remember that verse there, strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, in a little while here. Put on the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces. Don't say, well, we're going to put this on. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. No, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the little subtleties. That word wiles is the idea with to accompany. He hangs around. He just hangs around like a bad quarter. You know what I mean? He's just there. He's just always in trouble. If there's a problem, he's just there. And so he's the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor. Now, he said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, and you may be able to stand. And verse 13, he says, wherefore, because of what we're doing, he's going to say it again, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, to be established, not be pushed off center, not be pushed out of the way, withstand in the evil day. You say, well, I'm fine today. There's an evil day coming. Either you just came out of one, you're in one, or you're going into one. There's something going to show up. Something bad, something hurtful. Don't wait until the evil day decide to put it on. It's too late. They've caught you off guard. My wife has a baseball bat underneath our bed when I'm gone. I don't think she'd have the nerve to hit anybody with if she had, but if they came, but she might. But you don't listen. You don't wait until somebody breaks in to go find something. You know what I'm saying? You got to be ready right off the bat. And it says, watch, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may able to, what did I say? Right off the bat. Boom. Obviously no pun intended. Okay. That you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, there's the word again, having done all, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, twice as said, then having done all, that's so important, to stand. Verse 14, stand, therefore, here's how we're going to do it, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and the night where I look at verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to look at this, and I may go slightly down a different path than you're used to hearing that particular verse preached, but I think I can justify it pretty clearly. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can believe in miracles because we believe in you. There's nothing that's outside your reach. If it's within your will, it's within our reach. So, Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here this evening. I pray you speak to our hearts. I thank you so much for these dear folks. I thank you for a good morning you gave us. Thank you for a good group of folks here with us and speaking to hearts. And, Lord, tonight I want to be encouragement to our folks. And, Lord, I want us to learn how to put on the armor of God. We've got to put on truth. That's our strength. We need to put on righteousness that spares us from so many hurts and snares and wounds. And tonight we put on peace. Lord, help us to do it the way you intended it to. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The devil would like nothing more than to destroy the church. Since the church is not buildings, but the people. In order to destroy the church, he must work through the people. Satan would love to divide us and even cause us to fight one another. The devil knows just how to use people to push the buttons of other people. And somehow he can entice us to attack and hurt one another. And Satan is our adversary. He will do whatever he can to stop us from performing our calling of bringing glory to God. That is letting God see him for who he is. Bringing glory to God is more than running around saying hallelujah, glory to God. We bring glory to God by being what God intended us to be. In the way he intended us to be. In fact, Satan has manipulated many people to bring disgrace to the Savior. We do have the option to cause the devil to leave us alone, even flee us. If we resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee. And we resist him by being steadfast in the faith. We've been here, I'm not going to re-preach that. Keep doing what God has told us to do. Just don't change. Now, the armor of God is essentially broken down. Let me back it up. Let me say it again. The armor of God is essentially breaking down our steadfastness of faith into specific areas of our hearts and our lives. When he talks about the armor of God, he's basically taking the idea of how we're going to be steadfast, and he's breaking it down in several elements for us to understand what it means to be steadfast, what the building blocks of steadfastness really is. And we can easily say we are being steadfast in the faith and that we may be true in certain areas of our lives, and yet other areas of our heart and lives are exposed and vulnerable to the attacks of the adversary. We think, well, I am steadfast here, but what about over here? Well, I put the breastplate on, but what about the shield of faith? Well, I got the shield of faith, but what about the helmet of salvation? Well, I got the helmet of salvation, but what about the gospel of peace? Our feet being shod with the gospel of peace. We have need the whole collection. And God clearly admonishes us and exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God, not just portions. Now, the first thing we need, he told us, was truth. Truth is our strength. If we have no truth, we are going to be weak in our stand. Let me say that again. If we have no truth, we are going to be weak in our stand. Truth is not what we happen to think it is today. Truth isn't necessarily what the preacher said. Truth is what we know that the Bible says. Hang on to the truth. That's what you gird. That's your strength. That's your loins. That's the truth. If we have no truth, we're going to be weak. One who is weak on truth is not sure what truth is, at least not in certain areas of life, and that person is not going to know for sure what to think. This person can be considered to be double-minded. And a double-minded man who vacillates from side to side is unstable in all his ways. Now, if you're going out in the battlefield, you don't want to be unstable. We have to decide what truth is. If we're going to stand, we need to stand firm. Secondly, we need to put on righteousness. Living righteously, we talked about last week, automatically keeps us away from sin. If we live righteously, Live the way God has called us to do. We hate the things He hates. We love the things He loves. We stay close to the things He wants to stay close to. We stay away from the things He wants to stay away from. Righteousness does what God wants us to do. Now, the fact is that we will do what He tells us to do. Yes, you say, well, I missed out on a little bit of fun. You worked out, missed out on a little worldly fun. But you didn't miss out on the joy. You stay where He wants you to do, and the fact is, it will keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you out of the briars. It'll keep you out of the potholes. The wages of sin is death. If there's no sin, there's no death. We can stay away from sin. We don't have to be destroyed. Now that brings us to the third portion of our armor. We must cover our feet. We have a soldier going into battle. Now he has to have some strength. He can't be a weakling. I've never been 98 pounds. You'll hear about the 98-pound weakling. I don't think I've been 98 pounds since I was like fourth grade on the way up. You know, I heard, you know, one day it was 98, the next day it was well, I'm not going there. But anyway, I just saw it breeze by. But the fact is, just because you're over 98 pounds doesn't mean you're not a weakling. In fact, we can be kind of fat and happy, not be able to do much. Don't go there. Now, we need to be strong. That's the strength. Now, once you've got some strength, that's part of our armor. We have the breastplate of righteousness. All our vital organs are covered by the breastplate of righteousness. If we just stay out of trouble, we'll keep our heart, guard our heart, keep your heart. That is the issues of life. So you got that protected. Now, we're a soldier. We're going into battle. The next thing it says, I want you to put on the gospel of peace. We must cover our feet. Now, I believe this passage can be interpreted two ways, and many people, when they see the word gospel, quickly associate this with the gospel of Christ and salvation. Now, I'm not going to say that's wrong. Number one, let me say this, give out peace. We're going to go ahead and go there. Give out peace. Number one, give out peace. Abraham Lincoln said, the best way to get rid of an enemy is to make him a friend. The fact is, some of the greatest Christians started out as atheists, agnostics. Look at Paul the Apostle, for one thing. I mean, right there is a great example. But there are many others who started out, didn't want to have anything to do with Christ. And then they decided, in fact, Jim Savali, one of our missionaries down in Samoan Islands there, he was studying to be a Catholic priest. And he was very adamant about it. And so he went down, he went to the Samoan Islands on the last part of his training to be a priest. He wanted to be a Catholic missionary. So he went down there. While he was down there, he gets this letter from his brother, who was also grew up as a Catholic. His brother said, I went to this little Baptist church, and I got saved. And I'm not a Catholic anymore. I'm a born-again Baptist Christian. Well, Jim said he got all upset about it. I mean, he did. I mean, he said he couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. My brother did. This is awful. He said, this can't be. If the man just had any sense, he wouldn't do this. He says, I'm going to show him where he's wrong. I love this story. So he was studying to be a Catholic priest. So the first thing he did to be able to study to show that his brother was wrong was he went out and bought a Bible. Because he didn't need a Bible to be a Catholic priest. Literally. They taught them what the church said, not what the Bible said. So he happened to buy a good old King James Bible and started reading his Bible. And guess what happened? His brother was right! And he got saved. He came back and said now he's a Baptist missionary in the Samoan Islands. I love it. It's a great thing. And fired up. He was gone the other direction. But now he's the other way. He's the other way. I love, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Now, so number one, what? Give out peace. In other words, part of the armor of God, you say, well, we're trying to be the soldier. All right, well, let's lead them to Christ so they're not the enemy anymore. They're saved. Give them the good news of the gospel, the word gospel means. Give peace to others. And the more people we lead to Christ, the more people that can be led by Christ. Right? So the more I lead to Christ, the more I've got on my side. So that's all fine and good. That's good. The more people who are led by Christ, the less people that are being led by Satan and used by him to cause division among the brethren and thwart the work of God through his church. So it may stop them from being attacked and thus aggravated enough to attack us. So in other words, you could say, okay, you need to have your feet shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I know a lot of preachers, and I actually have kind of done it too. We talk about this. We're the soldier of God. We need to give out the gospel. We need to give out the gospel. And yes, we should. And yes, we should. But in the context of this passage, I see something else. We are to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, he says here in verse 15 that we should have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Let me say this. In fact, let me give you number two, and then I'll explain. Don't stand on your flesh. It's going to hurt. Don't stand on your flesh. It's going to hurt. This is the armor of God. Just don't string me up and count me a heretic yet. Once you see this, within the context of this, watch. When a soldier goes to battle, he must prepare himself to face the worst of the worst. Now, in our passage here, he says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To be prepared with the good news of peace. Gospel simply means the good news. Can you imagine going into battle barefoot? When I was a kid, our neighbors... I don't know. I've always been a little bit, I guess, a little bit, and I hate to use the word stuck up. That's not the word I'm looking for, but prickly, a little, I don't know. I don't know the word I'm looking for here. I like to keep my shoes on. I like to dress. I like to be all carried together. Now, you Southern folks, that's a different story, but our neighbors, all summer, they ran around without shoes on. And the fact is, what my dad called Crusher Run Road. Just, you know, it was stones with all the little stuff in there, you know, and it kind of gets kind of solid when the water gets in there and gets all settled down. And these kids were running around with no shoes on all summer. And they go right across the road. Didn't bother them. And they had a swimming pool. And so every once in a while, I get over there, and I get to swim in the swimming pool. And I had to go across the road. You know, that's the way I went across the road. I need shoes on my feet. The fact is, can you imagine going into battle barefoot? You may be able to do it a day. Back then, you go to battle, you're out there. You're sleeping on the ground, you're camping. Next day, it's another battle. You're on guard all the time. Can you imagine being barefoot? You might be able to do it a day, maybe even two. But you know what? It's not going to be too long until your feet are blistered and bleeding and hurt. You ever have a bad pair of work shoes and put blisters on your feet? I remember I did construction for a couple summers. I remember I bought a new pair of shoes. And I don't know what it was we were doing. I was carrying stuff back and forth, and it wore a blister on my foot. It popped that night and got in there the next day Oh, my soul. It just hurt. Can you imagine trying to go into battle barefoot? Exposed to the elements? Sure, you may become calloused. Your feet may be scarred after a while, even to the point that you lose feeling in your feet as they become insensitive to the elements of the life. But you know, that's not victory. Just being callous and insensitive to the surroundings, that's not necessarily victory. What if you had to go to battle day after day, week after week, without any protection on your feet? You know, when it tells us to put the whole armor of God, we're supposed to put on that on every day. In fact, to tell you the truth, best just to sleep in it. Have it on all the time. You just never know when the old Satan's going to attack. Our shoes are a buffer between us and the harshness of the world. Where we come in contact with the stones and the hurt, broken glass, the mud, the mess, where the rubber meets the road, that's where our feet go. And between the softness of our flesh and the harshness of the world, there needs to be something to protect you. Because if it doesn't, you're going to be bleeding and blistered and hurt and out of the game. The shoes put a buffer, a barrier, a cushion between us and the stones and the briars and the rubble of the world. They insulate us from the cold, hard realities of life. Without the shoes, all we can do is stand on our flesh, and flesh is easily torn, infected, and hurt. If when I walk through life, I'm going to have to walk on things I don't want to be on, and if all I'm facing that world with is my flesh, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall. I'm going to be on the sidelines, bleeding and battered. Do you ever have a sore foot? Walk around that thing all day. You know, can you imagine going into battle and every time you take a step, rubs against that blister. Some stone goes back up in that sore. Letter C, watch this. Pretty shoes are often not practical shoes. Pretty shoes are not practical shoes. We need shoes that protect us and not just present us. Listen, there's a lot of Christians say, well, look, I'm a Christian. See, I look like a Christian, act like a Christian. I can put on my smile like a Christian. I can tell you, and I can do all the things and say amen and hallelujah like all the Christians. And then when the world comes and they have to step out into reality, that's because their feet were not shod, protected with the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Hang tight with me. Number three, stand on peace. Stand on peace. You hang tight, but I think you'll get what I'm talking about here. If we're going to be able to stand in the midst of evil, in the midst of things that cut us and hurt us, the rubble of the world, we need to put something on our feet to protect them. Now, I gave you the passage there. Ephesians 6, 14 says, stand, therefore, having, and then it says, your loins girt about with truth, with a breastplate of righteousness, and that word stand, therefore, having, goes right into the next section, with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, I need your feet, the base of your stance. That's which you actually stand on when you stand. This is what I stand on. How am I going to make? Listen, I'm not standing on, you know, I can do it. I can do it. You can't live like that. You can't fight a battle like that. You don't know whether you're going to just be able to jump across the stones. You might get pushed right on the stones in the middle of the battle. How you can, you cannot face it in the flesh. You cannot face it. Listen, what we stand is our feet. The base on which we stand says shod. That word shod means to bind underneath. Means to bind underneath. I need something between my feet and the viciousness of the world. And I'm going to do it, watch what it says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is the buffer that takes the beatings of the world. Peace is the buffer that takes the beatings of the world. We can walk on stones. We can walk on briars. We can even walk on glass with shoes on. We can remain unscathed by the elements of the world. Now watch me. The elements of the world is there. But in the midst of the element of the world, what's going to get us through is that peace that passes all understanding that God's going to give you. If you have not known, you have not gotten that peace that passes understanding, as soon as we go out in the world, we start walking on the sores and the rubble of the world, it's going to break us down. Before long, we're going to be on the sidelines, rubbing our feet, putting salve on our sorrows. The old wounds are going to break open. My flesh, when I've got my feet with the peace on there, my flesh is not standing on the harshness of the world. My flesh is standing on the peace. And my peace is that which has contact with the harshness of the world. What holds you up above the world? What gets you through? The peace that knowing He is with me. Peace that knowing that miracles are possible because He's possible. The peace that knows, listen, if all things fail and I die, what's the worst thing that happens? I go to heaven. You can walk on coals if you want with your feet shod. The burning coals you can get across them if you have to. Number four, we need to be prepared with peace. We need to stand on peace. We need to be prepared with peace. He says, and your feet, the base of your stance, that which you actually stand on, shod with the preparation. It means prepare, to make ready for that which is to come. If we're going to fight battle, we don't wait to put our shoes on once the battle gets started. So I'm not sure I'm going to have to fight today, but you don't know if you're not. You better put your shoes on. Listen, if you even have to make a little list that you take through on each morning, give yourself to Him, surrender to Him. Lord, here I am. May Your Spirit fill me. Lord, I remember what You've done. I remember Your promises. I mean, whatever you have to do, so you can face the day. I tell you, after you do that long enough, after a while, it becomes part of who you are. He's my peace. He's my power. He's my one. He is it. The preparation, the gospel of peace. If you don't have your shoes on, you're not ready for battle. You're not ready for the day. Have you remembered who He is? Have you remembered what He can do? Have you remembered what He has already done? Listen, people die like this. I've even seen good Christians fall apart. Why? They didn't have their feet shod with peace. Well, I'm saved. I didn't say that. Well, I've lived righteously. I didn't say that. Well, I've got my shield of faith. I didn't say you didn't. We got as a side now. Everything's all right in my Father's house. It's not right because there's no problems. It's right because I'm in there with Him. It's okay because I'm in His house. I'm with Him. We need to face each day with peace already established and settled in our heart. Before we walk out the door and into the world, before we go out and fight that the wiles of the devil, we better have peace already established in our heart. You are not going to do well in the world. We are in the world, not of it, but we're in the world. You're not going to do well in the world if we don't start the day with peace in our heart. You know what we do? We start the day hoping no one's going to push us into the briars. We start the day hoping no one's going to push us into the stones. We start the day hoping the road's going to be smooth. We need to start the day with peace in our heart because who knows what the road's going to bring. How are you going to walk through the day? Walk through life if your feet are already wounded. See, sometimes we're already wounded from yesterday. We walked yesterday without our feet, without peace. And the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the wounds just start piling up. You got blisters on blisters and hurt upon hurt and wounds on blisters on scars and scars on scars. And I just can't take it anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't. God has let me down. No, you didn't put on the gospel of peace. We need the protection of something between us and the stones of life. And that protection, that buffer between us and the hurts of the world is a peace in the heart. Number five, put on peace. He says, have your feet shod with the preparation, the gospel of peace. Don't wait till it's too late. Prepare yourself for it. Prepare. Put on peace. Letter A, peace is a quiet rest. Is a quiet rest. Now, when I say that, don't think that, okay, I'm peace. Oh, I'm not saying you're walking around like you're half dazed. Listen, you can be anything, you can be your personality, you can be wound up, whatever it is, but there's a peace. Well, how can you? You don't have any problems. Yes, I have problems, but I'm walking with my feet shod with the good news of peace. Everything's all right. It's good. I can face the day. So, well, how's it going today? It's going well. It's all right. Well, this and this and this and this happened. I know. Well, how can it be good? There's a peace in my heart and a Lord on the other side of the chasm that I'm trying to get across. It's going to be okay. Watch, peace is not the absence of hurt and trials and tragedy. Peace is not the absence of hurt and trials and tragedy. Peace is a quiet rest in the midst of the hurt and the trials and the tragedy that comes only from God. We are going to have a difficult time walking on the stones and the briars and the scorching sand with nothing insulating us from the damaging elements on the paths of life. If there were no stones in life to cause hurt, there would be no need for shoes. But that's not life. Put on the peace before you walk out into the world. We're going to be unstable if we walk into the world with sore feet from the days and the weeks before. Listen, there are a lot of folks who say, well, I can't live a successful Christian life because this happened when I was a kid, and this happened when I was a teenager, and this happened when I was in my 20s, and this happened. I'm not making light of those things. I'm saying God can heal the wounds. I'm saying God can give you a peace in the midst of the storm. I'm saying God really can. Talk about it from this morning. Do you fear Him? He'll give you quiet rest. The thing is, we don't fear Him enough to know. Why? Because we don't believe in miracles. Because we don't believe that He is who He says He is. We've got peace. That's what we need between us and life. Letter number six. His peace. When I was young, I had this pair of shoes that I bought. You know how it is. You get ready to go to school, and mom takes you out to the store and gets you the new school clothes and all this stuff. And, In fact, when I was a senior, I got voted best dressed in my class, and my mom dressed me out of a little general store that was between us and the school, Dutter's Market. You remember Dutter's right there in Greenmount, which nobody knows where Greenmount is anymore. It's been swallowed up by Manchester and Hampstead. But Greenmount, Dutter's Market. And she went in there, and she'd buy me stuff, and that's what I wear to school. But anyway, I'd always get a nice pair of shoes. And I had this pair of, they were nice leather boot type things, and they had what they call a crepe sole. It was kind of a gummy looking thing. You remember those crepe soles? I don't know if they still do that. They'd wear like iron. And even had a little bit of spring in them. And I'm bad. I kind of walk on the outside. I kind of walk like a duck, I guess. I kind of walk on the outside corners of my shoes, and I have a tendency to run the back corners of my shoes over them. Not with these things. And even had, like I said, it was even kind of cushy. And you could, man, I could run these, and they wear forever. I wore them till the leather wore out. I mean, these were nice leather boots, and the sole was still good. It's falling off, the shoe part's falling off. The sole was still good. In fact, a couple of times, I glued it back on for a little while. It's not just any kind of sole on the shoe. This is something that's going to be able to last a while. This is something that can endure the real problems. People laugh. I have church clothes, and then I have worn out church clothes that I use for work, and I don't have much in between. I had to go out and buy a couple shirts, a couple pants, or something. So I had something to wear this next weekend at the couples conference. And they laugh at me, and I'm out there mowing the lawn in an old white shirt that I used to wear to church, and an old pair of shoes that are worn out enough that I wear them for my work shoes, and that's fine. But the fact is, you go out and dig holes and really do some hard work. Those dress shoes aren't going to last very long. Oh, they're okay for pushing the pedal in the lawnmower, you know, but they're not going to last long out there in the real work. They're not running shoes. They're not work shoes. It's just something that are worn out, so I know I'm not going to hurt anything. I'm not wasting anything. The shoes we put on is not something we can work up. I'm decided I'm going to have peace. Yes, I am. I'm going to have peace. God's my Savior. I know that's going to be. It comes from being with Him. It comes from letting Him control you. It comes from letting Him make your decisions for you. You make your own decision, and you want God to give you peace. You know what? You know what the problem is? You're out there, and the guilt in your heart saying, well, I'm over here where I'm not supposed to be anyway. I wonder if He's going to hear me. I tell you what, you go where He wanted you to go, and you feel like you're out on a limb. Well, hey, Lord, You put me here. I guess You knew what was going to happen. Let's go for the ride and see what's going to happen. Like getting on a roller coaster. Some people hate those things. I love them because you can put your faith, you know, Lord willing, you put your faith in it. Don't fight it. Just go with it. And you go with it. It's a lot of fun. Well, you know what? You might get stopped at a hill on a roller coaster. You might get stopped upside down. They do all kinds of cranes these days. But the Lord won't stop on you. You get on the ride with the Lord, it might be a wild ride. But when you get done, it pulls into that last thing and the brake comes on, you're thinking, ha-ha, look at what He did. Look where we've been. Look, we did this and just whoop and this and this and that one. Hey, look what He did. And the peace starts coming and says, listen, I did it once, I can do it again. I walked you through it once, I can walk you through it again. There's a peace that comes. His peace. My peace. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. The words of Christ. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What I'm going to put on my feet started with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. He didn't save my soul to throw me into hell later. He didn't pick me up to let me down. He saved me so that I'll walk through. I'll give you my peace. Not this other stuff the world's trying to give you. I'll give you a peace that comes from God. I'll give you a peace that passes understanding. I'll give you a peace that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. I will give you a peace. If you don't start the day with God's peace in your heart, don't expect the world to give you the peace. That's what we do. Oh, I need peace. Well, I'll just go out and I'll listen to this and I'll listen to that. I'll turn the radio on. I'll get a good song that I like. You're not going to find peace at the bottom of a bottle or at the end of a needle. The end of a cigarette, even an e-cigarette. That's not where peace comes from. It comes from knowing Him, from walking with Him. We have, listen, we have the good news of the gospel. Did I give you the passage from Romans 8? Do you have it there? Look at it with me. And we know, there's a piece right there. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You can have peace if you love God. He says, if you love me. Oh. You want the peace? Keep His commandments. Well, I messed up. Well, if you messed up, you really just kind of slipped. You messed up. Well, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just forgive your sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. I mean, you can mess up. What he said? How many the disciples answered? How many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times. He said. 70 times up. Now, I don't think Christ is going to ask us to do something He doesn't do. So at least how many times will He forgive you in a day? 70 times 7, 490. The fact is, He does it more than that. So I can have peace. Keep yourself humble before Him. Keep yourself confessed up. You can walk where He wants you to walk. Do what He asks you to do. Keep His commandments. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And His purpose is this. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. All these things that are happening you don't like, you can have a peace because it's all in the purpose of having you conformed into the image of His Son. He's knocking off the corners. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. I'm not going to go through all this. We've been through this before. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good thought for peace. If God for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If that's true, that certainly gives peace in the heart too, doesn't it? He loves me so much, He gave His only Son to die on a cross. If He would do that, don't you think He could provide our needs? Don't you think He can open up the Red Sea and let Him go across? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Well, I don't know. Listen, you're saved. If you're saved, you're saved. God said so. There's a peace. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who can say, well, you're no good. Listen, you say you're saved, but you're so bad, you've got to be going to hell too. Nobody condemns. It's God that died. I mean, I wasn't bought with a piece of toast. I wasn't bought with this, even silver and gold. I was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. There was no higher price to be paid. He paid. You can't pay any more than that. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Listen, I can be walking on all the problems, the stones and the glass and the hurt of this world, but between me and the hurt in the world is this gospel of peace. Everything's all right. It doesn't hurt. I can live above the hurt. Simply putting on a little peace. You see what I'm saying? We'll say, you denying the reality? I'm not denying the reality of the stones and the hurts. But they don't have to hurt me. Everything's all right. I don't be wounded by it. I got a peace that passes under. Says, listen, I don't understand why it's there, but there it is. I'm going to walk through it. Verse 37. Nay, I'm going to go back to 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What's he saying? We all walk through the hurts every day. But wait a minute. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got my crepe soles on, and I can stomp all over the stones and all over the glass. You can put me on the fiery coals. It's okay, because I'm doing fine. It can't hurt me. Because between me and the hurt is a peace that carries me right over the mess. Number seven. We're all done. Put on peace with prayer. Put on peace with prayer. Philippians, just a couple of pages. You know this passage. Philippians 4. Look at the words. You can see how parallel it is. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, watch this, so stand fast in the Lord. There it is. Having done all, to stand. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You can rejoice even when you're walking on the stones. You can rejoice when you're walking on the glass. You can rejoice when you're walking on the hot coals. You can rejoice you're walking through the briars, because you've got between you, your flesh, the hurt of your flesh, and the hurt of the world is a peace that says everything's okay. God's with me. It doesn't have to hurt. Well, you don't know what they said to me. I died to self. Dead man feels no pain. There's a peace that passes everything I know. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men, your self-control. Why? The Lord's at hand. There's a peace. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Worry about nothing. There's a peace. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer. And there it is. And the peace of God. He says, my peace, not as the world give I unto you. Where are you trying to get your peace? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep, protect, guard. It puts a buffer between you and the hurt of the world. You're not denying the hurt of the world. You're denying the hurt of the world the right to hurt you. I don't need the world hurting me. I don't need the blisters and the bleeding. You get that all day, every day, you're going to be in big trouble. It's going to be hard to face another day. When I was in sixth grade, we all went out to Camp Nicodemus. Did they do that when you all were in sixth grade? You didn't go to day camp for a week? You must have stopped it not long after, because they would take every sixth grader out to this camp. And the first day we were waiting, we got off the bus, and we were standing at the camp, and they had these railroad ties kind of around the blacktop. And they gave us the ball, and we were kicking the ball around, all this kind of stuff, you know, little soccer. I actually could actually do that sometimes. And we were kicking around, and we came to this thing, and just as I went to kick the ball, the kid pushed it out of my hand, and I hit the insole, the arch of my foot, right on the corner of one of those old railroad ties. I mean, I hit it hard. By the time that night, I encourage you to how guys are, doesn't hurt, fine, you know. And by the time I got done, it was all black and blue. I probably chipped a bone in there. I probably did, but I didn't tell anybody. I went through the whole week. We hiked, we did this, we did that. And I went the whole week trying to bite my lip. I'm fine, you know, no problem at all, you know. No one ever knew. It was a long week. Something as little as just your foot can get you off base. We need to place our foot down. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body." Just let the peace take the beating. Have your foot shod beneath with the good news of peace. If you don't, you're not fully protected. You're not going to be able to stand in the evil day. Father, thank you again for speaking to us. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. And I thank you for this truth. Lord, I hope that I've been able to transfer the thought to these folks here this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll use it. May we give ourselves to you and be fully engulfed in the armor of God. Thank you for what you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet.